Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk
Radio. Hey,
hi,
everybody. Chuck Williams with IABT, the International Association of Black Triathletes. Glad to hear you with us. Hey, our flagship show, we're feeling good and we're getting ready to do it all just for you. No two ways about it. I guarantee you. Hey, you guys know how it goes. Many of you, you've seen our pictures, you've seen our faces. Yeah, now we have something we are ready to go through and go to right now. Tell you what, my guests right now are Dr. Takiema Dorsey. Hey, one of my favorite people from the International Association of Black Triathlons. Oh, Black Triathletes, let me get that straight. Also, my favorite friend, welcome, welcome, welcome. You know the voice, well, not mine, but that's hers. Hey, Ms. Ragubir, how are you this evening?
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Oh, gosh, I knew she was going to lay it on me 100%. Doctor, is doctor there with me or what?
Yes, I am here finally, stupid technology.
Oh, bless your young heart. I tell you what, it is so good to hear and talk to you young ladies. I'm really enjoying this. Tell me this. I have to know, I have to know, I have to know. Dr. Dorsey, first off, Dr. Dorsey, to you
yes.
and to the whole crew at International Association, thank you. Thank you for bringing this type of radio, this type of information to the fore. It's needed. You have no idea. There are a lot of folks out here that want to know, and now they are in a position to know. Let's lay it on them. Please.
All right, Dr. Dorsey.
Welcome. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, honestly, you guys are absolutely the greatest. Dr. Dorsey, if you don't mind, let me start off with you before I get my buddy over there. What was the impetus of IABT? Give it to me in 30 seconds. I want to know the whole impetus. Yes, right.
Well, IABT's mission is to educate and increase the participation of blacks in triathlons and to develop partnerships with other organizations that will help us reach our mission and vision. And we simply want to be a platform for the voice of African Americans and triathletes and hopefully make a difference in history.
No problem with that. And I can tell you right now, I know we have made a big difference already. I know a lot of times I do a lot of triathlons. I go around, announce a lot of triathlons. I participate in one or two relay events in triathlons. The way things are looking right now and the way statistics, in quotes, if you hear it in my voice, the way statistics go, we're looking at 0.5%. of the total amount of people in triathlons are African Americans. That has to change, and through this organization, it will change. No two ways about it. I know that this is part of that mission, correct?
This is a part of that mission, and, you know, we work really closely as a board. Myself, Keisha Ragabir, Alexandria S. Williams, and Jeremy Gordon, our kinfolk, all of them down in Texas and me in Maryland, and, you know, we try to keep, or not we try, our goal is to keep the focus not on us as members, but on our, us as board members, but on our members and the impact that we can have in the sport. So any and everything we do has nothing to do with us individually, but it has everything to do with leaving a legacy and helping to uplift people as individual first, triathletes next, and then eventually the sport itself.
And I
couldn't do it without them.
And the word I liked the most was that term, legacy. I really like mm-hmm. that. Keisha, you
yes.
know, I know from the start, and welcome, I know
wow.
from the start, you've had a very, 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 very major part of this whole deal. starting IABT. Basically, give me what did it take for you to make that crossover from, hey, I'm going to go and I'm going to be a triathlete. Just give me something to go with.
You know, briefly, I wanted something different and a challenge. And don't get me wrong, I love running. Running is my passion. But it's just something
right.
about the three sports in one. It's a challenge. And it's a challenge that a lot of people are afraid to make. And when you are told that, you know, oh, we don't swim, oh, you know, then that sort of gets you started. Like, yes, we do swim. And guess what? I'm going to do it. So it was more that crossover was more of a, it was a challenge because I was like, I want to see myself out there. I'm seeing myself coming out from the swim to the bike to the run and just succeeding in crossing over. So that's the main reason. It was that challenge, and I wanted to see myself do that. And when I started doing it, I'm hooked. And it's just something that is helping me grow as a person, and I want to see others grow and see their strength in that because the challenge that this sport brings.
Now, I'm going to be very honest with you. It is not you made something that is very – you brought home a point talking about the issue of the swim. Mm. We as black triathletes, it's nothing to see. As a matter of fact, give us a whole pool to ourselves. We're happy as hell. Pardon my French. However, I will say this up front. It is one of the let's just say it's somewhat of a thought that blacks don't participate because we don't swim. That's a lie, I think.
Right. Right. And I truly have to agree with you. It is a lie. We do, I believe, that it is just you don't see us there in participating in the sport of swimming. But, yeah, you know, you throw a party, get a pool party, we're there. We're jumping in the water. We're out there. We're having fun. And we do swim. And I think we need to change that mindset that we can get out there. And it's okay to go out there, put your face in the water, and to go out there and take those strokes and learn how to tread water or learn how to do a basic freestyle. And I think once we get that out of our heads and change the thought process of who we are and what we are capable of doing, because we were told probably for so long that we don't do, and when we see us out there and seeing that we do, and it will, I believe, and IABT is a part of it, will change the mindset of we can get out there and do that. And we can get out there and swim, whether it's a pool or open water, swim in a lake or ocean or whatever.
Now, again, yeah. And Dr. Dorsey, please jump in on this one, please. We're talking about something that we're talking about not just a sport. We're talking about a series of sport. In other words, we're talking about a swim. Oh, my God. A run, something longer than 200 meters, if you will. We're talking about cycling. And we're not talking about cycling down to the corner store. We're talking about cycling miles and miles.
Right.
Not so much that the actual race is that demanding. It is the time that it takes to prepare for this.
Yes.
What is it taking? How are we going to emphasize this? How can we punch this point home?
Well, I think it has a lot to do with personal growth and development. You know, before you can make a commitment to a sport, you have to first make a commitment to yourself. Before you can be accountable to three disciplines, you have to be accountable for yourself as to why you're doing it. Because, you know, preparing for any sport or wanting to engage, it's a full-time job. You know, it takes you to know who you are, what you want to get out of it. You know, not everyone is going to jump on your bandwagon to support you, but your number one advocate should and remain who you are. You know, your mirror image, your best friend and your worst enemy. So once you first realize and align your mind, body, soul, and spirit as to why you want to do something, then that's when the foundation is set. And no matter what goes forward, when you come back to that foundation, that is what will allow you to overcome adversities that you are faced with in anything that you set your mind or your goal, a goal to accomplish. So I think what is first needed to be successful, whether it's a one-discipline sport or two-discipline sports such as duathlons or a three-discipline sport such
right.
as triathlons, you first must check yourself, know yourself, understand yourself, and explore why you're doing this. You know, is it for you or is it for the next person? You know, do you want to be happy about your body image or whatever the case might be? And then take that and allow that to be your motivator moving forward before you make a commitment to any and everybody. Make that commitment to yourself first.
That is, you know, you brought forth a very good point. And Keisha, please jump in on this, please, if you will. I see a lot of people. Week in, week out. I participate in a lot of triathlons in one form or another. I'm looking at the number of our black triathletes, if you will. I'm looking at them when they come out. And, you know, in some cases, it seems like a lot of them were dared. If you please catch what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
They were dared out there. In other words, yeah, I told you wouldn't do it, but yeah, here I am. Look at me. Now, we've made that first step. Now we can't look without what happens after that first dare and we get out there and do that. What happens then? You know, now we do it for ourselves or what?
Mm-hmm. I think, like, for me, when I first got I only can speak for me. When I first did my first triathlon, and I was self-trained, ride a bike. You know, I can get out there and tread in some water. And when I got out there and I went into that water and I went into my transition to change into cycling and then the run and everything, when I finished and crossed over, it opened up a different mindset. You know, I really saw, it was a humbling experience, actually. It was really humbling.
Was that between between the swimming and the bike, or was that between the bike and the running?
I think it was all three, because I went in with the mindset like, oh, I can run, I can ride a bike, oh, I can
yeah.
dog paddle, you know, but you don't realize... you know, how all of that ties together and how it actually challenges you mentally. Because believe me, I've been running for a long time and I have my little mountain bike sitting up in my garage. But when you are out there and you're pedaling against the wind and you literally start telling yourself, oh, my goodness, what I get into. And then that is when mentally things start kicking in. It's like, oh, no, I'm going to finish this. I'm going to finish this. I'm going to go through.
Right.
I'm going to push through. And then when you cross over at the end, for me, what it did was it showed me where I needed to do more work. And because I saw where I needed to do more work, I was more willing to get out there and do what I needed to do so I could be better at what I was doing.
And, of course, the bling actually fueled this fire, right?
It helps.
But you want to know what? For those people who may not understand what bling is or,
right.
you know, like, you know, what Keisha said, you know, her process helped to dictate her outcome. And when she achieved
right.
her outcome, it helped to improve her process. So for those beginning triathletes out there, or for those individuals that are considering triathlons as a sport or duathlons or even just putting one foot in front of the next, you know, that's what we were saying about the internal process. You know, go volunteer at a race. You know,
mm-hmm.
go out and support someone on. You know, be a part of a cheering squad. You know, having those accountability partners is something that's going to help a person become motivated. And then from there, evaluate yourself and say, hey, you know what? I may not have a $3,000 bike and, you know, I may not have $500 for a swim coach or you may, you know, I may not have the latest hokas that's out there, but hey, I put my shoes on just like everybody else. You know, there's a community pool or pool at my gym, or get in your bathtub and, you know, put your face underneath the water and learn how to breathe. You know, get on your kids, try bike with trainer wheels, and just start from there. You know, you don't have to start out at this intermediate level or advance and, you know, be this all-star. It really just takes you wanting to make a difference for yourself to go from couch to movement. You know, because triathlons isn't always about, you know, the bling or the success at the end. It's really about moving and staying consistent. And I think that's what separates us from Six Degrees as a culture, because you're right, Chuck, you mentioned earlier, you know, some people, you know, it's this term in sports, drinking the Kool-Aid because someone challenged you. No, drink your own Kool-Aid. You know, do
right.
something so you can be around for your children and your grandchildren and, you know, overcome obesity and heart disease and strokes and aneurysms, because that's going to win the battle all day long versus, you know, how many medals you have. Which, you know, for most of us, you know, my medal rack is full, time for a new one. But, you know, make it where so it's rewarding long-term versus short-term. You know, be a part of the change in a process for yourself versus the next. So,
I really enjoy, but no, get back up there because I'm going to put you there in a minute anyway. I can tell you right now, you have just hit on every part of what a legacy is as far as the definition, as far as Chuck Williams is concerned. From the standpoint, you're laying something down. You're laying the foundation, which is the key word right there. In
Correct.
The process of laying that foundation, you're also laying a foundation not only for others, you're laying that foundation for yourself, because if you get involved in this, whether you have, once you get off the couch, you have automatically made a move to get healthy.
Correct.
Period.
Right.
In the grand scheme of things, in making that move, half the battle, well, let's just say 10% of the battle is already yours. Okay, now I can buy this. Between the two of you, Kesha and Dr. Dorsey, between the two of you, let me ask you this. As far as going towards the goal setting. Kesha, I think you said a little bit ago, if it takes getting up on the old Stingray 1960 bicycle, I guess I'm aging myself. Okay. if it takes getting up on that and you have to ride on that, did that Stingray with the banana handlebars, That'll get you to the end of most races. It doesn't take a lot to get started, does it?
It doesn't take a lot. It doesn't take a lot at all. I think when you start, I think if you start telling yourself you need the tri bike, you need the carbon frame, you need the $200 Hoka shoes or whatever. When you start saying that to me becomes a barrier, becomes a block, because you're like, I need this, I need it. No, you just need to get off the couch. I have been at races and foot races where I've seen people literally running in some Keds shoes, those little rubber bottom shoes, doing what they had to do. So
you ain't talking about Converse All-Star.
See, he's some Chucks. And here I am running next to my, like, Lord, I know your feet hurting, but they out there.
Right.
Wow.
No, but they're out there. All jokes aside, but they're out there. And it all goes back, and as Dr. T was saying, it all goes back to your mindset. You have to make that decision to get up off that couch, regardless of the situation, regardless if you have Nike or if you have Adidas, regardless if you have a Mongoose sitting in the garage or Walmart, something from Walmart, whatever. You're getting out there, you're making that decision, and once you do that, it doesn't matter what you have. All of the stuff will eventually come, but it's all about what you want to do. When you start putting those constraints, you start making excuses, because and then you won't do anything. So the deal is, you just get up, you make that decision. I'm gonna do it, and I'm gonna go from there, and I'm gonna cross over at the finish line.
Right,
ladies.
And you know, and if I'm sorry.
Go, no, go ahead, Doc, please.
You know, and if I could add, you know, and that is what sets IBT apart. You know, we as executive board of IBT is all about collaboration. You know, not competition, not opposition. You know, we want you to be a part of IBT and MBMA and, you know, Ironman singles. As long as you're being fed and you understand the difference from an umbilical cord program to a detached program. And what do I mean? What I mean is that you want to be empowered by those that you are surrounded by. You know, you want to get that hype. You want to feel a sense of community. But also at the same time, you want to take ownership for your journey. So, you know, when you are buying into programs or a coach or you're a part of an organization, are you being fed to stand on your own 2 feet? You know, can you take this knowledge from theory to application, not just from what someone is telling you, but can you go out and now execute this on your own? And if you can't, can you go back into that community and say, hey, do I feel, can I get help without being judged? And, right. You know, there are a lot of organizations out there, but that's the premise of IABT. We are a culture of wanting to reach back and help. We are a culture of wanting to educate our members to be the most, to be empowered. Not just, you know, how many races can you get in a year and how many podium slots can you hit. That's great. But, you know, none of us will ever master the three disciplines on top of nutrition, on top of transition. But what you can master is your knowledge, you know, and wisdom. Wisdom is knowledge applied. You know, how can you take it into theory and exercise it when you see, when you're panicking in open water versus the pool? You know, when you're not the fastest person on a flat course or a hilly course, or you are the last person going across the finish line. You know, can you be fed from the organizations you're a part of? You know, the answer might be yes or the answer might be no. But IABT is in that business of educating. And if we can educate you and then you can go out and filter and motivate and enhance someone else, then we've done our part and we've been able to help you. Okay, off my IABT soapbox.
and get ready to get back on there one more time. Because what I'm feeling as a member of IABT, I'm also feeling and hearing this. If I have two brain cells, just two brain cells to rub together, we are moving, we're getting off the static basis. We have to move in order to progress. I mean, movement and progression, hey, what are you talking about? You know, I would definitely say, for all intents and purposes, IABT and the future of where we're going. I mean, last week we talked to Brother Max Fennell, our first black triathlete. I don't know if the brother know it. That was a thrill to me. You know, I got turned on by doing that, you know. No, I'm serious. I'm looking at a lot of our members of IABT and just seeing what they do. I'm looking at the sisters. There was one sister the other week at IABT who said that she's lost something like 30, 40, 50 pounds in something like 7, 8 months a year. My God. I'm quite sure that any of these midnight television shows with all these appliances that can help you lose weight, they would love her, you know. But it really surprises me. To get to the point, the bottom line is this. We have a lot of people that are just on that verge of saying, I want to. No, I don't want to. I can do it. Mm-hmm. What can we do to help push them over the edge?
I think
we have to be, as you say, we have to keep moving. We have to keep progressing. We have to keep showing, because we have a lot of lurkers in the background who are possibly timid. They may just be on that verge, and once they start seeing, I believe, the advances in how we are helping each other and how we are educating each other and how we can provide them solutions and help them with resolutions, with getting plans together, or how can you purchase running gear economically, especially also for our lady triathletes, our women triathletes, you know, hair care. Yes, you can get in that pool and you can get in the ocean, and you're not going to mess up that dude, you know, not going to mess up the hair.
Your dude ain't going to come out green.
Yeah, you know, because my hair hasn't been green yet.
So, no, thank you. Thank you.
Exactly. So, you know, once they start seeing that and they'll start feeling more comfortable with it, I think that's going to help them to take that step, or as we can say, put that toe in the water to feel, you know, to feel it a little bit.
Yeah, and, I would also add on, you know, you're not alone. You know, even for, and if I can take this from an organizational standpoint, you know, we meet weekly, you know, we try to come up with ideas and, you know, programs, you know, we try to set a solid foundation, but, you know, we're not getting hoop highs and way to go and you got this, and, you know, we don't know what the members are thinking or wanting or if we're on the right track. So, you know, when you convert that into, you know, you wanting to get off the couch to go to the next step, to be active and healthy, you know, just know you are not alone. You know, all of us are going through it from a board, an organization standpoint.
Right.
You know, even though we are marathoners and triathlete and Ironman and all of these things, every part of our journey every day requires us to evaluate ourselves, you know, to reflect on the good and the bad and the ugly and the, you know, the progress that Keisha talked about when you accomplish something. You know, setting goals and hitting those milestones each and every day should be a reward. And when you fall, like the Bible says, get back up. You know, because every day on this side of earth means that, this side of Jordan, means that you have an opportunity to do something different, not just for others, but for you. But you are not alone in this journey. And if we can't convey nothing else from an IABT standpoint, from an executive board standpoint, from a platform for a voice for triathletes and African Americans, join IABT, because you are not alone. We put our pants on the same way you do. You know, we get on a bike the same way you do. Your bike pedal might be a little better, but I'm just saying, we are all in this together. There is no one person better than the next in our organization.
Right.
We are all equals, and we're all equal, and we want you to know that we're here to empower you, to educate you, to support you, and to let you know that you're not by yourself in this journey.
And let me quickly piggyback off that. One of the things that, because we want people to know that you're not alone. You're not alone with the struggle. We all struggle. None of us hopped off of this bed and was swimming a minute, 100 meter, minute and a half. None of us knew how to clip in or clip out. We've all fallen. We've all scraped and bumps and bruises. And none of us started running 9, 8, 7 minute miles. And I think when we are real with that and we exhibit the struggle of it and the success, people will start seeing that, hey, I feel the same way too. I see that you feel that way. How did you overcome it? You know, what can I do? And it becomes real to them. And it's not just all these elite people or fast swimmers or fast runners that are doing this. It's everyday people, every shape, every size, every height that is doing what we are doing. And it can be done.
Keisha, let me ask you this. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. From the bottom, when does just participating become secondary to going for it all?
Well,
in your estimation.
I really can't estimate because each person is different, you know. Each
okay.
person has a different goal. For me, I enjoy the race. I've already figured out I'm not going to win the purse. I've already know that. And for me to be able to just be blessed enough to get out there and do these things is enough for me. And I think that just comes with the maturity of training or the maturity of the sport. And for each person, I think it'll be different. But you also got to realize there's a lot of people who don't care to even be the elite or to run a 7-minute mile. They just want to get out there and just start moving and just have a good time. And someone,
right.
I had someone ask me, they asked me if I was competitive, and I said I'm competitive with myself. If I want to go out there and I say, you know what, I want to set this goal. This is what I want my PR to be. It's competing against me. I don't care about Joe Blow, Jimmy Sue, Hula Booley, or whoever is out there because there's always somebody better. I'm competing against me. I'm setting the goals against myself. So I believe to answer that question, you really can't because it's an individual thing.
And, Kesha, I can tell you from Texas because I ain't heard Hooli Booli since I left Amarillo some years ago. I ain't heard that in a coon. Oh, man, I ain't heard that in a long time. Hush.
Wow. Guys, this is
you got a point of reference here. Okay. Ain't nothing, nothing like Richardson. Let me tell you. Doc,
yes.
I want to put the same question to you. When does just being out there not good enough when it has to be, I got to go after it?
That's a good question. I don't know if that's ever the case because, you know, there's no such – when you're anxious for something, you stand for nothing. Nothing and nowhere in the life, biblically or spiritually, should you ever be anxious to have to do something. You know, but I understand that is the case for some people. You know, they may have to fill the void with engaging in triathlons because it makes them complete, or running 10 to 20 miles because it's their part of their sanity. So I would concur with what Keisha is saying. You know, it depends on the individual. You know, everyone has their own journey. Everyone has their own motivation. Everyone has the reason why they do things. But just
right.
know, understanding that when a person is going through this, hey, I got to do this, then sometimes we should practice peace and practice self-constraint to understand what is it that causes us to have to be a part of this. Because the only thing that we really have to be a part of is that of God's calling, you know, for those that believe.
Right.
And that's it. You know, pleasing him according to his glories and, you know, our place in his kingdom. So there is always a premise behind why people do things. But that comes through self-evaluation and self-reflection and being honest with oneself. And I think when a person is able to sit still and engage in their own mind and their own body and their own spirit, then that answer, even though they may still decide to do it, will come to them. Because there is a such thing as overtraining and burning the body out and not balancing nutrition that will quickly have a person sitting back down on a couch as quickly as they got off of it to want to be out here all the time.
Keisha, you know, I've seen some of your workouts. I've seen some of the pictures, the afters. I've seen some of the bling, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't mind me just asking, 3 years ago, where were you as far as where you wanted to be physically, where you wanted to be mentally, and how has being a part of IABT and actually triathloning, how has that helped you?
Ooh, where are you? Wow.
Well.
Now you got to No. I don't want to hear that. Well. I don't
want to
hear that. No.
Well. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
I show
amen.
Amen
again. Amen again.
Let me say this. I am not where I used to be, but I'm far from where I need to be. But I'm still moving to where I got to go. Now,
hush.
Where was? Huh?
Hush.
Now, where I was three years ago, I was not even thinking about this. I was you know, running. I was a runner, and I had challenges within myself that I was content with what I was doing. I was content with what I was doing, and when I saw the opportunity to improve myself, because I had to have a come to Jesus meeting at a certain point in time in my life too. And I toyed around with working out, but it wasn't eating right. Toyed around with, I put these miles in, but my mind wasn't right because I was toying around with it. And so I had to make those changes. And as slowly as I made those changes, I saw myself getting stronger. Health-wise, I was getting better. Blood level, cholesterol level, and everything started dropping weight and all these different things. And I knew, once again, I had to challenge myself. And when I actually, the person who said something to me about triathlon was actually Alex. We were talking about something one point in time, and I said, you know what, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do it. And what this sport has challenged me is that I don't say can't. If I see myself saying can't, then this sport literally has challenged me, because I have done some things with this sport that I never thought I would be doing. Waking up at 4:15 in the morning, making sure I'm following my nutrition plan or getting my strength training in at odd hours of the night, and still while taking care of my family and working. It has shown me that I can stretch my boundaries, and there I can go outside that box. The tent has opened. The cloth of the tent has opened wide and has allowed me to see past what I was looking at. So this sport has challenged me. It has made me reevaluate a lot of different things that I was fearful or timid to do 3 years ago, 2 years ago, even a year ago. So that's where I see the changes.
Doc, I tell you what, Doc, you know, I'm gonna call it as I see it. We need more. Excuse me. We need more African Americans in triathlons. Period. You know that, and I know that. The statistics say so. How are we gonna do it?
Well, I think it has a lot to do with the roles that we take on, you know, and I want to speak to a particular population. You know, we all wear hats as mothers. You know, we bring home the bacon fried up in a pan. You know, fathers are trying to balance, you know, households along with parents. You know, we need to increase, but we need to learn how, as a culture, in African American culture, to be supportive in collaboration with each other than opposition. You know, I'm a spiritual person, so for those that are offended, you know, turn the radio down for a second, but I'm going to just be real. You know, God allowed us, and he created us fearfully and wonderfully made according to his will for us to fulfill his purpose in his kingdom. Which means, what am I saying? Organizational-wise, every person who started an organization, whether it's triathlon or running or swimming, we're already divine to do that. So IEBT serves a purpose. BTA serves a purpose. MBMA serves a purpose. You know, Athena serves a purpose. There is no reason, none, for any of these African-American-led organizations to be in opposition or competition with each other. There is nothing that we don't support from an IEBT standpoint from any other organization, including IEBT. If there is something you have achieved, we're gonna celebrate you. If it's somebody in your organization that's done something great, we're gonna praise you. It should still be the same across the board. So if we can stop looking at each other in a mode of, you know, I want to be better than you, or we are better than you, and just look at it as if this is my role, this is our mission, let us stay in our lane and let them do their thing, then people
right.
will start harmonizing and we'll start being synergetic together. And if I may be true, since this is African-American station, our white counterparts have no problem with doing it.
Nope.
What makes them great? It's the fact that they support one another. What makes them dominant in the triathlon community is because there is all collaboration and there is no competition. They're always uplifting. And if I may use an example for a minute, Ironman itself recently put out a call to start a Women for Tri group, right? Applications
Correct.
Came in from across the U.S. Only a few were selected. Okay, no problem. We understand this in an inaugural board. The board posted their first picture the other day. Truth be told, even though it's only 0.5% of African Americans in triathlons, we're not the only, including other minorities, it was not one black face on that board. Not one black minority on that board. Now, what is that telling you? If it's a board of all women and it's all white and it's not one black, then that's telling us it's not their fault they didn't choose us. It's our fault because we don't stick together. So to increase the participation in the African-American community, we have to start getting along. We have to start respecting and valuing one another. We have to stop looking at it where it's though you're better than us, because we're not. We're all equal. Okay, off my soapbox. Yes.
I was hoping you were going to save that, because I was going to save that for a later show, but I'm going to come back to
well,
you on that.
You asked me. I'm just trying to be real. I'm saying.
I know that. I'm loving this. I am loving this.
I mean, in order for us, you know what, in order for us to make a change, then we have to be honest. In all honesty, and it's not even about the triathlon organizations. Let's take the glass ceiling theory. Every black woman in an organization that has another black female that's equal to her in some way or another may feel threatened. You can't tell me that's not the case, but why? What is the threat? There is none. The only threat is an internal threat. The internal threat we think that somebody else is better than us. God made me, and what's for me is for me, regardless of what roadblock is in front of me. So if I want to be Ironman, I'm going to be Ironman. I went from a non-swimmer to an Ironman in 9 months and 15 days, and everybody around me told me I was an idiot. Didn't know how to swim.
So stop
looking at people as competition. I can look at Keisha all day. When I saw her before and after picture, I'm like, whoa. Is that Keisha? And it inspired me because nowhere does she ever feel defeated. And if she does, she's not afraid. She doesn't mind being humble and vulnerable. And that's what makes people likable. And that's what makes people able to connect, because we're real. Okay. I'm sorry. You're the shelter.
Right.
Let me shut up. Go ahead.
Yeah, No. Listen. I got two more subjects to cover with you guys, and I'm out of here.
Sorry.
So help me, we're all out of here. Kesha, one of the big issues.
Keisha.
One of the big issues is with diet. God knows my idea of a diet is pizza and beer. Oh my God, that's a feast for me.
Did he just say that?
Oh man, I love that. I'm honest, you know. And God forbid if we get some pickled pig feet up in here, we good
no,
to go.
No, he did not.
No, he
I don't have a problem
next.
With that.
See?
As far as diet mm-hmm. and triathloning, that is very, very important. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Correct. It is.
Now,
it is very important. But
now, a lot of let me finish it out. A lot of people don't realize this, that before you even get to triathloning,
mm-hmm.
you need to be watching that diet from the giddy up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
How important in that transition period? I mean, you're not going to go from eating red beans and rice today and all salad tomorrow. What's the transition? Is there one?
You know, it goes back to what you are willing to do. And you have to, as I say, you have to have that come to Jesus moment.
right.
and realize what you are putting in your body is affecting you, whether you're doing triathlons or just living life, period. We have to quit, and don't get me wrong, I mess up. I still mess up, you know, because I come from a family of eaters. My mom and them would cook, and I tell you, you know, I used to have my menu ready for my mama. It'd be greens, cabbage, with some lima beans, some hot water cornbread. I mean, and I would ask her to make a sock of tuna.
I'm telling you.
See, you know what I'm saying? And it'd be waiting on me. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, but it is very important that we have to have a good relationship with food. We have to understand how food actually impacts us. And a lot of times, a lot of us have comforted ourselves with food. And when we continue to do that, we lose that understanding and that connection with food. Food is not bad. Food is not the enemy.
Right.
We need food. We need to eat in order for us to fuel ourselves. Just basic getting out the bed. We need calories. So the transition, for some, it may be easy. For some, it could be really hard because they may be connecting eating with some other different things. Food, you know, a lot sugars. When you're eating sugars, it is a drug. It makes you feel good for that moment in time, and people want to continue to eat the sugar. And if they can't
right.
eat the sweets, they sort of gear towards the things that will convert to a sugar, you know, when they eat it, such as the breads and the Doritos or whatever. So,
right.
You know, for each person, I think it's different, but you have to have that. You have to get real with yourself, and you have to get that diet down first.
If you don't mind me interjecting here, you also, whether you're a triathlete or not, you also have to give some consideration to the African-American diet, the African-American
mm-hmm.
physical health. Diabetes is, let's just say,
yes.
while we're not friends with diabetes, we're kind of close.
Mm-hmm. We're kind of close.
And like you said, the Doritos, the Fritos, the potato chips.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, we don't necessarily eat the healthiest.
Right.
But by making that transition to being a triathlete, that could help us one heck of a whole lot, even into that diet issue. Correct.
You know, when you come to grips and get an understanding of what food actually is, you know, I have a saying, if it's in its own packet, eat it.
Right.
You know, bananas
right.
come in their own skin, apples, grapes, they all come in their own skin. If it's in a box, more than likely it's processed. Watch what you're eating. Understand how to read the ingredients in the back. Just because some pasta came in a box that looked organic does not necessarily translate that is good for you. You have to understand what you're eating. And then also you have to understand portion control. We have gotten out
mm-hmm.
of we've gotten outrageous with the amount of food that we can eat in one sitting. And
right.
we're thinking, hey, this is a good amount, but then, you know, we're actually overeating. And then also to that, we got to start drinking water. I don't understand when folks say, I don't like water. What do you mean don't like water? Water has no taste to me, but I don't drink water.
I'm one of them people.
You're one of those people. You got to drink water.
Me and water mixed with what?
No, plain H2O. Some good old H2O.
I'll leave that alone. Okay, go ahead.
Throw
keep
some
on,
ice in there
on.
If you want something different. But plain water. Our bodies need water because we are very dehydrated. And, I mean, we can go on a whole different – that's a whole different subject, you know, dehydration, gastrointestinal issues because we don't drink water or eat enough fiber, you know.
Right,
We have to come to grips with that. And then once you start eating better and you understand and you have a better relationship, you start getting more energy. You probably start seeing your weight come down. Your blood levels will come out. You know, people with high blood pressure, diabetes, they'll start seeing those changes slowly but surely.
And, you know, if I can add on really quick, I know you have another question, but, you know, that's one of what IEBT has implemented are webinar programs and training programs from our certified coaches that help to address issues such as nutrition and training and things such as that. You know, we talked about earlier, you know, IABT's mission, which is to educate and increase. You know, before we can increase numbers in the sport, we want to educate people where they are. We want to meet people at their vulnerable spot that can make them either go back or move forward. And
right.
even though what we are presenting is not a means to an end, it is a beginning and a step in the right direction. So, you know, as we talk about nutrition really quick, you know, we do have webinars on our website, www.iabt.org. Become a member, which is free, and you can download those webinars and bio-certified, you know, nutritionist, Holly Gray, and you can now walk through those webinars and reach out to one of our certified coaches that can then help you in practical application. Sorry, I had to throw that in there.
No. I've seen a lot about the webinar. Personally, I have not listened to that yet. I will in the next one. However, I have to admit, I do see what some of the member IABT members are putting up there, like for their recipes. And somebody put up something for a salad the other day. There is no way, I'd say 10 years ago I'd even eat something like that. I can't even pronounce half of it. I didn't even know they sold it. However, it sounded good to me the other day. Now, it's supposed to be healthy in that. Let's face it. The majority of us as African Americans, we will eat it if it tastes good. And I have to go back to what Keisha said just a minute ago. While she didn't necessarily say crutch, a lot of us do use food as a crutch.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
In the grand scheme of things, now what kind of crutch are you using it for? Is this a crutch to heal, or is this just a crutch to fall back on and to get further into the pit? Considering that if we are all eating healthy and trying and as triathletes going forward as to what we do, that is just a small. Still, while it is important, it is still a small piece of the pie. Correct?
Yes.
So well, don't everybody chime in at once on
oh,
me.
Oh, well,
you know.
No, I was just going to say, nutrition is a part, you know, it's a part of the whole. It's a part of the whole.
Right.
Nutrition, strength training. You know, when we're talking about training for a triathlon, you know, nutrition is part of it, strength training, flexibility, you know.
Stretching.
Doing drills. You know, and people do not realize that all of that ties together. And when all of those are aligned, I'm not saying everybody's going to get it 100%, but when all of those are aligned, you will start seeing success and you will start seeing this you know, a build-up. You know, we all have to have a base and a foundation. And if you want to get to a certain goal, you have to be able to follow the plan. We have a saying that says trust the training. You got to do the training in order to get where you need
mm-hmm.
to go. You know, if you go out there and do a long run and you don't go and you don't refuel properly after your long run, when I say refuel, go and eat your proteins or your carbs, and you just put back what you've utilized out there on the pavement. And if you don't go and get a good massage or take a foam roller and go over those muscles and the myofascial release and get those knots out, you will start seeing a decrease in your ability to be able to go longer, stronger, faster. And so
right.
it is all – nutrition is just a part of that – it's just a part of the whole.
You know, you made mention of several – you made mention two or three things here. The massage part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bottom line. And I really want both your opinions on this. And Doc, I want you to take this off first. How much of the idea, the financial, the economic idea, the economic, how big of a part does that play in keeping African Americans out of triathloning?
Wait a minute, say that again. Man, you just woke me up. Well, I'm just joking.
Yeah. How big is the idea? How much is the economic piece of this pie keeping us as African Americans out of triathlons?
Well, I think it's only as large as one's ego. And mm-hmm. what do I mean? I believe that if you... What I mean is that, you know, if you are not a person that has to have that $3,000 track bike and that $200 pair of tennis shoes and, you know, the latest, you know, swim, you know, what do you call it, skin suit or wetsuit or, you know, have to have, you know, all of these fancy things, then your economic level or commitment drops. You know, if we learn to survive with the basic necessities of life, especially before we make a commitment to the sport. You know, one thing that people encourage is that before you start going out, because the sport, any activity, any relationship is a job. You know, running by itself
right.
could cause you to buy a good pair of quality shoes, you know, 150 every 3 to 6 months. You know, not including the other discipline. But if you are a simplistic person, you know, that you're just trying out, you know, you're testing the waters, you're piloting the program with the shoes you have, you know, with the bike you already obtained, or go renting a bike till you get a feel for it, you know, just getting yourself in the pool, you know, with a cap on, and you're thinking simplistic, then there is no such limitations of the economic financial obligation keeping African Americans from participating. So it the check is at the front door. The check is in your mirrored image. You know, if you're humble, if you're kind of laid back, if you kind of evaluate and brainstorm and use time management and organization and be a realistic, open your mouth and ask questions, get answers that you don't answer, ask and answer yourself, then you educate yourself on how to cut back in where you can, you know, not have to put out so much. But if you're just a person that, you know, the sky's the limit and you got money to throw away, then it can be an expensive sport. But more people can get into the sport if they want, if they put the time in first and not on the back end.
Listen, you ladies have no idea how much it has been really a pleasure on my part to talk with you all tonight. You guys are absolutely great. Dr. Dorsey, it's definitely my pleasure talking to you. And Keisha, welcome. I really appreciate talking to you. You know that also, so no problem with that. Listen, you guys are the greatest, and I can only see this organization just going all over. This is just the start. And hopefully that in the very near future I can just see just great things all the way around. I can really see the membership just exploding. Hey, gang, I really appreciate it. And to all you folks out there listening, this is the IABT's radio broadcast, and our purpose is to educate and increase participation of blacks in triathlons, and also to add to the scholarly body of knowledge, as well as the discussion on how to change the face of triathlons for African Americans. Listen, really enjoyed everybody, every bit of it. Hope to get a chance to talk to you guys real soon. Dr. Takemia Dorsey and Keisha Raghubir, appreciate you guys being on tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the time.
And before we hang up, and I know you're wrapping up, you know, from an executive board standpoint, you know, and I know we speak for us all, if it wasn't for members such as yourself, Chuck, for wanting to help and volunteer your time to be the host of IEBT's radio, that we wouldn't have a voice. So we thank you so much for your time and your dedication and your effort for wanting to be a part of the solution and not the problem. So kudos and hats off to you, and just know we truly and deeply appreciate you for all that you do for IEBT.
Thank you.
To all you good guys, thank you, and good night.
Good night.
And welcome. Bye-bye. I love you guys.
Love ya.
You're out of there. Okay,
bye.
Gang.
Bye.
Talk to y'all later. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chuck, can you end the show for me? I put the window down by mistake.
Wait a minute. I'm ending it.